Father, in the name of Jesus, speak your word. Speak your word, Lord. Speak your word. Let Jesus be glorified. Let your word be like the waves of the water, the wave upon the sea, that transcend from nation to nation, from city to city, from family to family, from homes. Let your word flow over the land. Speak your word, Lord. Let Jesus be glorified. Let Jesus be glorified in our homes. Let Jesus be glorified in our hearts. Let Jesus be glorified in our family. Let Jesus be glorified in Nigeria. Speak your word. Speak your word. Let Jesus be glorified. Thank you, Father, Lord God. We bow our hearts to you today. We bow our hearts to you today. Today we're going to talk about victory over storm. 3 months ago, when they gave me this topic, and they said today is Mother's Day, come and talk to bless our mothers, be with our mothers. And then I looked at the topic, victory over storm. I said, this is Mother's Sunday. This is Mother's Day. We should be talking about how to be a good mother, how to raise wonderful children, how to be a good wife, how to build up the nation. But they said it's victory over storm. And that was 3 months ago. And I was wondering why. And then January came, February, and then we got into March. And we hear all that is happening over the world. And I realized that the Holy Ghost couldn't have been more correct to talk about victory over storm right now. Acts of the Apostles chapter 27 is a very long read. It's a wonderful story of the last journey that Paul made and the storm that happened, that took place, and how God delivered them from that storm. And I'm sure you've read it. It's part of Bible study. We've looked at different aspects. But before I talk about that scripture, I just want to say something. I want us to read the book of Isaiah, chapter 8. If you start from verse 12, it says, the Lord God has given me a stern warning. It says, I'm not supposed to call a confederacy or a conspiracy what people call conspiracy. It's a very, very profound scripture. The first time I read it, I just marveled. He said, verse 11, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 11. The Lord has given me a strong warning not to think like everyone else does. He said, don't call everything a conspiracy like they do. And don't live in dread of what frightens them. Make the Lord of heaven's army holy in your life. He is the one you should fear. He is the one who should make you tremble. He will keep you safe. But to Israel and Judah, he will be a stone that makes people stumble, a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap and a snare. Hallelujah. And that is the first thing I want to talk about today. I want to say that the Lord is giving us a strong warning. As many of us that are called by the name of the Lord, he says, do not call a conspiracy what they call a conspiracy, and do not fear their fear. I am not saying this because I don't care about China or America or whatever is happening or all the stories that they are saying, but all God is saying by that scripture is that you should not give more credit than is due to a man who has breath in his nostrils. A lot of things happen to you. A lot of things happen in our life. And we point fingers to the wrong source, not knowing that the one that is to be dread, the one that's to be feared, is the Lord God Almighty. It's not America. It's not China. It's not scientists. It's not any man. No. He says, do not call a conspiracy and do not fear their fear. Your fear should only be of the Lord God who made heaven and earth. Because man in his most powerful state is still man. A man cannot be God. A man cannot be God. And so when you are done with that, then we can talk about how to wade through the storm. Because you see, sometimes the things that happen to you, why they are more scary is because you think somebody is here doing this to you. Somebody is here. Whenever you ascribe strength to somebody, you have put that person in a place that you begin to fear and reverence that person. But the word of God said, ascribe glory to the Lord our God. His name is perfect and all his ways are just. They say he's a God of faithfulness. Without injustice, good and upright he is. And so, Paul and other prisoners and so many other people, they set sail. They went and they set sail. And at the point at which they wanted to enter the boat, Paul said to them, an angel told me that this is going to be a tempestuous journey. This journey is not going to be smooth. That was a foreknowledge. And the Bible said that the men listened to the seamen, because the seamen said, we have looked at the instrument. We have checked the weather forecast. And we have looked at the things that were available to us. And we can see that the journey is going to be smooth. And so one of the things we know, we need to know, that causes the storm of life is when we do not listen to the right instructions. Because everything you see is not all that glitters that is good. Sometimes evil is usually covered up with some good. It's bitter inside, it's sweet outside. It looks very good. The road looks sweet. It looks straight. But then you don't know that there's a ditch at the end of it or somewhere in the middle. So Paul told them, I think the angel of the Lord met with me tonight and he said, this journey is not going to be smooth. They said, The seamen have more experience than you, Paul. So let's follow the seamen. And they followed the seamen. And strangely, when they started, the sea was calm. How many times have you started a business and the first few months was so beautiful? Your returns were so high. You were making a lot of profit. You do not know that the next time, the next month, the next 2 months, you are going to crash. It happens all the time. The fact that you are on a smooth path, the fact that the initial beginning, the beginning of a journey is smooth, does not mean that you're on the right road. The fact that you are not crashing yet does not mean you're on the right road. Because it is when you get to the road, end of the road, then you know you are. Until you are at the end, you do not know. So when they started sailing, everything went very calm. And they started going until the tempest came. But today, I'm not talking about whether you made a mistake, whether you did not hear the voice of God, whether you missed your way, whether you entered this road and discovered that it is the storm, in the middle of the storm. What I'm talking about is for that person who is already seated in the storm, and for our world that is being ravaged by COVID-19. We are already in the middle of the storm. What is the Lord saying? What is God's word for us now? I like the eagle as a bird. The eagle does not run away from the storm. When the storm is coming, the eagle is looking for the eye of the storm. The eye of the storm is the middle of the storm. And it goes through the eye of the storm. You know, it's like when the wind is going round and round and round, and then it's expanding. A time comes where the middle of that wild wind is usually the calmest place to be. What usually happens is that whenever there's a storm, everybody wants to run. That's what happened in this ship. First of all, everybody wants to run away. You know, some will say, okay, let me dive into the sea and see if I can make it on my own. Actually, at some point, some of the sailors wanted to jump down. And Paul told them, if you come out from this ship, you will die. But the eagle, no. He does not want to go to the side. He wants to stay through the eye of the storm. And sometimes you don't even have a privilege, an opportunity to run anywhere. You know, with all due respect to our fathers and our leaders, I'm thinking this is a good time. One of the good things that coronavirus is doing for us is that we have discovered that there's nowhere to go to. There's nowhere to run to. It doesn't matter how much money you have. If somebody is diagnosed as having this virus, the person has nowhere to go. The only place the person can be treated is in Nigeria. And so this gives us the opportunity to look at what we have put together in our country and begin to work on it. So, there's no running. What is the personal storm you have? Is it a storm in your marriage and you want to pack your bag and run? Where are you running to? Where are you running to? There's no help anywhere. Just like what is happening with COVID-19. Where are you going to go to? Are you going to America? Are you going to China? Are you going to Europe? There's no help anywhere. There's nowhere to run. And so this marriage is about to fall apart. There's nowhere to run to. Let's remove the mentality of running away. No. Because the safest place to be in the time of the storm is in the middle of the storm, especially when the Lord is guiding you. The third thing I want to talk about is that when you come to a time like this, one of the things that Paul did was they lightened their boat. Verse 18, he said, removed the excesses. Remove the excesses. That's one of the things that quarantine, isolation, and, you know, putting us on quarantine, that's what he's doing for us. Because a time comes when you need to navigate through the storm, you have to remove excesses. Extra parties, extra drinkings, extra smokings, extra eating, all of that have to go. The middle of the storm is a time to fast. It's a time to fast. It's a time to pray. Christians don't want to hear about that. But you see, there's no way we can go through our world now without fasting, without praying. It's time to fast. It's time to pray. Fasting doesn't kill anybody. It only makes us stronger. I'm a doctor in the medical field right now. What they're advising everybody, they said the best way to watch your weight, the best way to have the best diet is to have intermittent fasting. And I marvel that the world runs round and round and they still come back to the word of God. And those of us who are believers, we don't pay attention, we run away. But the world goes round and round, and when they find out that there's no solution, they come back to the word of God. Where the word of God says that you should eat with moderation. You should do whatever you need to do with moderation. One of the things that moderation does for us that is difficult is it becomes easier to let go. When you are not addicted to something, when you are not so attached to something, when there is time to let it go, it becomes easier to let it go. There are some friendships you are into that is part of the reason why the storm around you is not abating. You have to let it go. You have to let it go. There are people in your life that are the reasons why the storm is raging and raging. Even if they are not the reason why the storm, because you need to get out of this storm, you need to let them go. You need to lighten your boat. Yes, lighten your boat. You are carrying too many luggages. Too many luggages. Lighten your boat. Lighten your boat. You need to lighten your boat to get out of this storm. Another thing that is important in the period of the storm is that from time to time, you need to eat. Paul told them, after they have been hungry, they have not eaten for 14 days. Paul said, no, you need to eat. And the food for our soul is the word of God. You must eat the word of God. And I'm glad now we are not saying we are going to work. We are at home. You know, some of us, we've been so busy, busy, busy. We don't have time to study. We don't have time to pray. And suddenly, you have a stroke. Now you have to lie on the bed. You're in the middle of the storm. What do you do? Pick up your Bible and have the time to pray and have the time to be with God. Because that's what's going to get you out of that place. So, listen to the word, read, study the word of God. Make it, eat it. Make it more important than your necessary food. Because the purpose for food is to have strength. The purpose for spiritual food is so that your spirit man will be strengthened. When I look around me, I see a lot of fear among believers. No! Stand up! Pick up the word! Eat! And be strong! Rise up, eat the word, and be strong. Hear the word of the Lord. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He said, because you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you will be under the shadow of the Almighty. The hand of our God is not short. He can protect. Hallelujah. And then who do you listen to when you are in the middle of the storm? Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Are you listening to the stories on the internet? Or are you looking at the word of God? Brothers and sisters, I beg you in the name of God Almighty, that in this season, this is the season to buy God's word and not sell it. This is the season to set your eyes on the word of God. This is the season to listen to God's word over and over and over and over. I want to hear you. If somebody says Nigeria is sinking, tell him the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If somebody tells you, it's going to burn, he said, because I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Listen to the word of God rather. Because the things that are posted on the internet are meant to make you fear. Yes. And when they say public health laws of wash your hand, those things are not new. Go and read the Bible. If you read the Bible in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, in the book of Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, there are hundreds of public health laws. Even in Isaiah chapter, I think that is 26 verse 20. He said, go inside, shut the door until the anger of the Lord has passed, until the plague has passed. And so if they say, stay at home, it's nothing out of place. It's God's word. Sit at home and face the word. Every storm has an expiry date. It has a time when it goes over. No storm stays on. Every storm must blow over. And that is something that will give us confidence. That it doesn't matter how long it stays, it will blow over. China, it took them like 3 months, but it's blowing over. Hello? There is somebody who is in charge of the affairs of the world. And he has the final say in your life and in the life of the nations of the world. The Bible calls him the governor among the nations. His name is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. And he has the final say. Epidemiological models can fail. All sort of predictions can fail. Yes, WHO has told us there are a lot of emerging and re-emerging diseases, but they don't know when it's going to come. They don't know how it's going to, you know, how long it's going to stay. They don't know how many people will die. They don't know what, but who knows? The person who knows is the omniscient God who knows everything. And he knows when it will expire. You remember when the devil went to talk to God and he said, I'm going to go and tempt Job. Give me permission. Let me go and tempt Job. And God said to him, go. Don't touch his life. There's a boundary. Even before this started, a boundary has been set. And the word of God, God has said, this far, no more. So it's in you. When you look at the issues and see what is happening, you should be able to have confidence that the one you serve is in charge. This is not out of control in God's hand. No! Humans might be out of control of the hands of human, but God is not confused. As usually what happens is when things like this happen, everybody is confused. Everybody's running helter-skelter. The Bible says in the book of Job, chapter 25, verse 10, it says, in the night, everybody is running around, going because of all the mayhem that is happening. He said, there's nobody that says, where is the Lord our God who gives a song in the night? And I'm not talking about prophecies by men of God. I'm not talking about people who come up and say all sorts of things. I'm not talking about people who make up all sorts of claims. I'm talking about you! You mother! You mother! The mothers of the nation! Who will say that this is our land? Because this land belongs to my child. I have better children in this land. I have better children. Because one child is a nation. So if you have given birth to one child, you are the mother of this nation. And because you are the mother of the nation, God has put in your hand the responsibility to put your hand on your womb and speak to the land and say, Lord, have mercy upon our land. Yes, storms come sometimes as judgment. And the world certainly has done enough to deserve God's judgment. And God is righteous in his judgment. Because he's a God of faithfulness without injustice. In his sovereignty, he does not condone sin. Hey, nations have risen and they have denied God. And they have done all sorts of apostasies. There's all manner of evil all over the world. Yes, the world certainly deserves to be judged. But thank God. Because the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel that God takes no pleasure in the death of a sinner. It is his prerogative to judge because he's sovereign. But what actually gives him pleasure is mercy. He told Moses, he says, he proclaimed before Moses, say, the Lord God merciful. The Lord God merciful. Wherever you are, can you stand up and say, the Lord God merciful. Stand up, stand up. Wherever you are, please lift up your hand and say, the Lord. merciful. The Lord God merciful. That is what he proclaimed before Moses in the book of Exodus chapter 34. He said, the Lord God merciful, slow to anger. I want you to hail him all through this season. Anytime you stand up, call him the Lord God merciful. The Lord God merciful. He is the most merciful God. Yes, judgment is his prerogative, but mercy is his character. It is his prerogative as the sovereign God, the one that created the universe, because the earth that we live in is not the only galaxy, it's not the only planet. He had created millions of planets. And they're probably human, other beings in the other. And he must be shown to be just. And so even if this is just judgment, it's his prerogative. But his character is mercy. Please speak again. The Lord God merciful. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to realize that the church is the body of Christ. It is the organ through which God speaks, God acts, and God manifests itself. Not an individual, but the church of God. So wherever we gather and we lift up our hand and we proclaim his name over the land, over the nation, then his name is glorified and he will show mercy. The Lord will show us mercy. The Lord will show mercy upon Nigeria. It's a good thing that we are talking about this at a time like this. I call upon mothers in the house. Yes, I know today I was supposed to say some prayers, but the only prayer I pray for you mothers is that the Lord will put an unquenchable burden in your heart to pray and cry out for our nation. Let the Lord put a fire in your heart. Let your spirit go away from you mothers, that you cry out to God, that mercy will come upon our land. That holiness will sweep across this land. That mercy will prevail over judgment. Bible says that mercy rejoices over judgment. That mercy triumphs over judgment. Let mercy triumph over judgment. Let's call him again, the Lord God merciful. The Lord God merciful. The Lord God merciful. Proclaim this all over your home, mothers. Lead your children in the proclamation. Lift up your hand and call him the Lord God merciful. The Lord God merciful. He's slow to anger. He's benevolent. He's gracious. Hey, judgment is your prerogative, but mercy is your character. You are the Lord God merciful. We give you glory and we give you honor. We thank you today. We thank you today. If you're a mother, please just bow down your head. Bow down your head. If you're one of those who have been chasing after shadows, not knowing that the Lord set you in this land to be the one that carries the burden of the nation, ask God to forgive you. Say, Lord, forgive me for chasing shadows. If our children are missing it, if our leaders are not doing well, if the nation is not prospering, it's because mothers have not arisen. Bible says that the land was in chaos until they arose, until Deborah arose, a mother in Israel. There are so many of you that the Lord has made mothers in this land. And you know it. And you know it. But a lot of times, you are carried away by the storm that is blowing around you. You want to say, Lord, I want to take my eyes out of this storm. I want to look at you. And I want to do that which you want me to do. I say, Lord God, give me the power of mercy. Give me compassion. Give me a zeal to be an intercessor. To stand in the gap. To carry the burden of my family. And the burden of this nation. Because the nation belongs to God. The nation belongs to God. The nations belong to God. Yes, it is his pleasure. We can stay there and clap our hand and say, let God judge. No! No! He is The Lord God merciful. And he wants to show mercy. And he shows mercy when we cry up to him. So Father, thank you as you strengthen the hands of our mothers. Those whose hearts are failing them, strengthen them. Some of them will lose children in this thing that is coming, but strengthen them. Before this storm come, Lord, put strength in their heart. Put strength in their souls. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let your hand rest over this house, O Lord. I put a bloodline over this house. Now I join my hand with every mother. Raise your hand. My hands are joined with you. And we're holding our hands together round the VFC family. We will say that we'll put a bloodline around this family and our children and our children and our family members and our family members. And we say that this plague will not come near us because the blood speaks for us. It's not because we are too righteous, but because we are hiding behind the blood of Jesus. Amen. We give you glory and honor. We give you thanks and praise. Father, you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. If you want to rededicate your life to Christ, now this is the time to do it. This is the time to say, Father, I am sorry for my sin. Come into my heart and be my Lord and personal Savior. And give me the grace to serve you. And now some of you, when you study the word, it doesn't make impact. Can you just ask the Lord to open the scriptures to you so that you will see? Let his light flow upon your heart. Let truth be revealed to you. Let his name be glorified in your life. Thank you, Ancient of Days. We give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Please take out some minutes and just pray. Just pray personal prayer. Take out some minutes and just pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you.